You're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Hello, my name is Safina Kilji. I am 16 years old, and I'm a junior at South Fayette High School.
Hi, this is Jossam. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a freshman at South Fayette High School.
Hello, this is Lily Baumgartner. I am 16 years old, and I am in 10th grade at Baldwin High School.
Hi, this is DJ. I am 15 years old, and I am in 9th grade at City High.
Hi, this is Cronus. I am 15 years old, and I'm in 10th grade at SciTech.
Okay, so today's preview of show details starts with MLK and his life, past events, and civil rights movement. Then we will hop on into entertainment, music, and sports, and then education and current events, and we will end with the future and social media representation. So, Jossam, do you want to start it off?
Sure, thank you. So, just to start, to get into it today, on our first topic, talking all about the king himself, Martin Luther King Jr. Some fun facts about him is he graduated high school at the age of 15. He received his bachelor's degree at the age of 19. Then he worked on his master's, achieved it at age 22, and he received his doctorate, PhD, at 26. And not only was he a genius, but he also preached in the 1960s the power of love and equality to all people, and that people should not be defined by the color of their skin, but rather the person that they are. So whoever wants to take over to get us started, please do.
Yeah, so I think with MLK and the civil rights movement, it was really beautiful and very hard fought. I think something that we want to really talk about today is how many different events it took for, you know, all the like laws to be passed so people of color got equal rights within America.
Yeah, so obviously the civil rights movement happened. It was a very revolutionary movement in the United States, and it fought for all people to have equal rights. And there were many notable leaders in the civil rights movement, one of them being Martin Luther King Jr. himself, and he gave the famous I Have a Dream speech. And it really like shaped and gave standards of where we want to be in the future. And then other like notable people were like Malcolm X, Rosa Parks. So
yeah. The Montgomery bus boycott was a really big moment in the civil rights movement in the 1950s, 1960s. Lots of the big events that happened in the South, which was, I felt, was really notable. And I think something that was really cool about the civil rights movement is that there were whole organizations towards getting, you know, civil rights to happen in America. And I feel that with those organizations, people were really able to band together and work towards a common goal.
Yeah, and like you look at different events that happened in the 50s that like shaped what happened in the 60s with the civil rights movement, like the murder of Emmett Till, Brown versus Board of Education, different things like that, the Montgomery bus boycott, like you mentioned earlier. And these things in the 50s, whether they were, you know, helpful, like Brown versus Board of Education, or disgraceful, like the murder of Emmett Till, they kind of shaped what Martin Luther King Jr. and different people, heroes like Rosa Parks, were preaching in the 60s about equality for other people. So these things that happened in the 50s really played a part of why Martin Luther King spoke and put his voice out there to help all mankind in the 1960s. And it carries on today.
Yeah, like you guys said, there were a lot of, you know, people that fought for civil rights. And, you know, even before the civil rights movement, there were people like John Brown who were working to fight against, you know, slavery and all of that, and who were working in order to gain rights for people of color. John Brown was known as like a, you know, radical abolitionist, and basically you hear about the people that, you know, used peace in order to get their point across, but then there were also many that used violence, and while it's not good, they did a lot to progress the civil rights movement. Back in like the 1850s, John Brown was like involved in many different raids in order to free slaves. And he was labeled a terrorist by the government and by many people in the South. So an example of something that he was involved in was the Harper's Ferry Raid, where he led a small group to seize the federal arsenal, hoping to arm enslaved people. The raid failed and he was captured, trialed, and then sentenced to death. But you know, he was basically a catalyst for a lot of other people to look at what was happening around them and realize that, you know, this was wrong. Harriet Tubman actually said about John Brown, he did more in dying than 100 men would have in living.
Yeah, so I think something about the civil rights movement that is so very powerful is, like you said, it's very long fought. It took a while for Black people to get rights in America, and still to this day, they're not equal, you know, to white people. And I think the movements that we have had in recent events have really just continued what people like MLK and Rosa Parks have done, which I think is really beautiful, how we've had this resurgence in activism.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I wanted to touch on the subject that people think that the civil rights movement and all of this was so long ago, but I just want to bring it up. It was not that long ago. Ruby Bridges has an Instagram account. She's still alive. So it's really not like ancient history, like some people portray it, like even in schools. It's really current. And the change didn't happen when an act was passed or something else, some president or someone said something. It really was progressive, and it was fought over a long period of time.
Yeah, that's definitely truthful. I mean, like, we think, like, this is, like, ancient history, like you mentioned, but, like, you look at the 1950s, 1960s, this wasn't a long time ago. Like, recently in school, I was, like, me and my class were, like, watching and researching things like Brown versus Board of Education and, like, the murder of Emmett Till. And it's crazy to think, like, the murder of Emmett Till happened in the 1950s, which, you know, feels like a long time ago, but really, like, it wasn't too long ago, like, ancient history. And it's crazy that something that bad could happen just based off someone's color of their skin, which is very disgraceful and terrible. So, you know, we think, like, these things happened a while ago, you know, we can ignore them now, we're fine society now, but we're really not. And these bad things, bad attributes, there's still a lot of people in the world that unfortunately still think them and, like, can't move on and just accept that no one should be judged by the color of their skin.
Yeah, and today is a day to really remember that, you know, as we get the day off for Martin Luther King Jr., I feel that often we forget why we have today off, why we get to rest today. It's because so many people fought and got hurt and died. So as many people in America could have rights and really, you know, say what they thought. And I think it's a really beautiful day that we should give more credit to and recognize what it's actually about.
Yeah, totally. You know, today, like, I was reading up on just Martin Luther King, saw some, like, articles. They were, like, talking about what he did. And, yeah, it reminded me a lot about, you know, this book that I've been reading recently. It's called Just Mercy by Bryan Stevenson, who was an author. Or he was also a lawyer. And he was basically just covering, like, a lot of cases that he took very recently, like, in the 80s, which is basically, like, no time ago. And, you know, he was just representing a lot of innocent people in the South that were convicted of crimes that they didn't do. And these people were predominantly people of color. And, you know, it's people like him and people like MLK that have fought for the rights of people of color in this country. And, yeah, we should be thankful for them every day.
Yeah, I actually read Just Mercy as a freshman in ninth grade. And it really shows how schools are really portraying, teaching about other Black lives and just representing the civil rights movement. And that book was very informative. It really taught me a lot more about what's going on, especially from a different standpoint. But yeah, so I agree that everything about, like, knowing about the civil rights movement and everything in MLK's life is really important. And I'm glad that us today could talk to you guys about it.
Yeah. And we will be getting into more education, current events, entertainment, and music later.
Hi, welcome back to Streaming Justice. The song you just heard is I Wish It Would Rain by The Temptations. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights past, present, and future in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day with Jossam,
Safina,
Lily,
DJ,
and Cronus.
All right, our next section will be getting into things like entertainment and sports. So I'm going to pass the microphone to Safina to start us off.
Yeah, so I wanted to touch a little bit on representation in media. I mean, for myself, being a brown girl and seeing representation in media, my heroes growing up were, I really enjoyed, like, Marvel movies. So Miss Marvel is a Muslim brown Pakistani girl that fights crime, and she's from New Jersey. And being a girl myself that didn't see a lot of representation other than, like, Princess Jasmine as a princess. It really helped me, and it really helps other people. Like, for example, Black Panther, it was a lot of young African-American kids were able to see themselves in a movie, specifically an action movie, and see people they look up to that they can do what they want to do, and they can do be heroes, so that they thought themselves they can do exactly, or they can try to be a better person. So do you want to talk a little bit on Black Panther and Sinners?
So both of those movies were directed by Ryan Coogler, and he really focuses on the African-American experience, which I thought was really beautiful in Black Panther and in Sinners, which is very recent. He really explored the history of the African-American experience in the times of, like, the 1910s, 1920s, and I think that was really amazing, if you guys want to talk more about Black Panther.
Yeah, so those are really great topics about movies and entertainment. When we look at something like sports, something, like, inspiring, you know, happened a while ago, but the first Black player to play baseball, Jackie Robinson, he really had no fear. He didn't hold back. He played the sport he loved. So that really, like, was a pathway to let other athletes that were different color skins than white, because he got a lot of discrimination when he first started playing baseball in the 1940s and 50s. So that was kind of a pathway and a big figure that led into more diversity in sports.
And I just wanted to add in a quick thing that the late Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace, he played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42, and it really represented how much hardship and discrimination that Jackie Robinson went through.
Yeah, and of course, like I said, he led to a lot of more diversity in sports. Now you see people of every color. I mean, I'm a Pakistani American boy too. I love playing different sports like, you know, football, basketball for my school. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, figures I look up to that, you know, are my religion, more my color skin in sports. And it's not just that. It's for, like, a lot of other, no matter what color your skin is throughout America and different countries, there's a lot of figures in sports today that kind of, like, define the odds to inspire the younger generation to be motivated and just do what they love, honestly.
And overall, I feel that in the last couple years, in sports, in movies, in entertainment, representation has really grown. And I think that so many kids these days are able to see themselves in the shows that they watch and the music they listen to and the sports that they watch. And with that, it really reminds you of all of the hard work that actors and sports, people who played sports like Jackie Robinson, had to do to be able to be represented and to feel equal in those spaces that simply did not accept them at that time. And hopefully, and now, people from all different walks of life are being more accepted in entertainment and in movies. And I think that's really beautiful. And I think you see this a lot from Sinners to Black Panther, where you can see everyone in different kinds of roles.
Yeah, it's a really great thing for you to say. People are playing historical figures nowadays, like casting, like it doesn't really matter, like, you know, who you are or what you look like. It basically just, like, matters, like, if you can play the role. And it's great to see different, like, kinds of actors, different people come from different backgrounds play these historical figures in movies.
Yeah, for example, Iftikhar Mohammed, she is a Muslim American entrepreneur, author, and Olympic medalist. She was the first woman to compete in the Olympics that wore a hijab. She was the first American Muslim woman to ever win an Olympic medal. And she was the first Black woman to win an Olympic medal in a Sabre event. So she really helped get fencing out there, and she went through a lot of hardship. I read her book, Proud. That's what the book is called. And she went through so much discrimination, even from her own coaches, telling her that she couldn't do it, that she wasn't fit to be in fencing. And she didn't listen to them. She didn't let them get to her, and she pushed through, and then she ended up winning an Olympic medal, which is amazing. And it just shows how much African-American women and Muslims can do in this world, along with others.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing it a lot in music right now, too. So music has always been a way for people to, you know, talk about their struggles and talk about what they're going through. And with award season upon us, more and more African-American artists and artists from different walks of life are getting recognized than ever. And I'm very excited for this award season to see how people, you know, like Doechii or Kendrick Lamar or SZA will get recognized in these really big award spaces making the kind of music that they want to and that, you know, tells about their kind of life.
I mean, it's great to see, you know, people of color, people from, you know, with every kind of background be successful in life right now, because, you know, you see people like, you see people in sports like MJ and LeBron, and, you know, you have actors like Chadwick Boseman, you have artists like The Weeknd, Kendrick Lamar. These people will be talked about for ages to come, and it's great to see that, you know, regardless of, you know, who you are, you can make it big.
And no matter what life you, like she said, no matter what kind of walk of life you come from, you can get famous, you can, you know, get your story out there. And we're really excited to talk about how, you know, I mean, I personally do theater. I do a lot of theater. And in theater, that's always been a space for someone to be the most raw and the most real that they can be. And, you know, I'll talk about this later when we're talking about education. But I'm currently reading Raisin in the Sun, which became a really big play back in the 1950s, where it showed the experience of a black family living in Chicago and the hardships that they faced and the laws that prohibited them from, you know, really thriving. And I think through media, it's been a space for everyone to show who they are. And it's kind of evolved over the years where finally people are getting recognized for the kind of art that they want to make.
Yeah, 100% agree.
It was really great hearing all your opinions about, like, the entertainment sports business, and knowing that all of us sitting at this table today can look up to great and accomplished people like this and hope to, like, be like one of them someday in whatever, like, career we want to go through. And they're very inspiring figures.
Yeah. And I think that inspiration factor, it really inspires, you know, little kids today. Like we've talked about in entertainment, if you see yourself represented in the shows that you watch and in the movies that you see, it can really inspire someone to go after their dreams. So if they want to, you know, be in a movie, or if they want to, you know, dress up as a superhero, they can be themselves in that. And we're really excited to talk more about, you know, what kids learn at schools about civil rights and about themselves in history and what's happening currently with, you know, civil rights and the way that people get represented.
Yeah, so we will be back after a short break.
You're listening to Streaming Justice, a live webcast exploring civil rights accomplishments, challenges, and dreams for the future, hosted by teams from the Pittsburgh region at SLB Radio's Youth Media Center.
The songs you just heard were Little Brother by Black Star and Donuts by J Dilla. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversations about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, with Lily Baumgartner,
Jossam Kilgee,
Safina Kilgee,
DJ Stairs,
Cronus Rajarajan.
So, in this segment, we're going to be pretty much talking about education and some current events. And I feel that since all of us are in school right now, we have a lot of experience of what education and, you know, civil rights look like and what we learn about. And something that I've really noticed is that we always get taught a certain point of view in school, especially when it comes to events that happen in America. And with the civil rights movement, I feel that we see it often from this peaceful point of view with MLK, which was obviously really inspiring, and what he did was really, really powerful. But I feel that we don't really learn much about, you know, leaders like Malcolm X or, you know, African-Americans that wanted, instead of, you know, integration between the two races, Malcolm X pretty much wanted a, you know, separation for African-Americans to have their own power and to love themselves. One of his biggest statements was, "Black is beautiful." And for African-Americans to really learn how to love themselves after being told for so long that what they were wasn't, you know, beautiful. So I think when we learn in school, it can often get distorted. And Safina, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So just off of what I have done in school, last year we had a book report. I was a sophomore in high school. We had a book report in English. We could pick any book we wanted to. And my parents, I went to my parents asking my parents, like, what do you suggest? Like, because I wanted to do something that meant something because I knew we were writing a book report. And my mom and dad both read the autobiography of Malcolm X, and they both suggested it to me. And I read it, and it was one of the most life-changing books I've ever read. And it touched on how Malcolm X was put in jail and his hardships and him being a Muslim African-American man. And just having to research it in school really gave me an opening. And having to write a book report on it really gave me, like, more insight about his life and about other people during the civil rights movement. And I really enjoyed that the school gave us that opening to do whatever book we wanted to do, because it really let us learn more, like, for me, about the civil rights movement and Malcolm X. And then also I wanted to touch on just, like, educational people or just people that did some revolutionary stuff in history. Like, we can talk about Kamala Harris. She was the first female, first African-American, and first Asian-American vice president of the United States of America. She really changed how we thought about it, because obviously Obama was the first African-American president, and then now having the first woman and also Asian-American and African-American to be a vice president really gave us one more step to maybe in the future having a female president, which is ultimately the goal. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think when you were given that freedom to really choose whatever you want in school to do a book report on, was it your, you know, immediate thought to go to something like with civil rights? Was that the topic? Or did you just choose Malcolm X because you thought that was a really fascinating book?
I chose it because I wasn't sure what to do first, because usually sometimes there's not as much freedom as we got with that book report. We got, like, to pick anything that was, like, obviously our reading level. And I thought to also go to my parents and ask, because, you know, they're older than me, they're wiser than me, they know more than me. So they probably read some great books in their lives. So, and then they both said in common that book was life-changing for them. Mm-hmm. So I was like, well, this is perfect. I can write a book report on it. I can read it. And that's why I chose the autobiography of Malcolm X.
And is there anything in particular that you would, you know, recommend it to our listeners right now? Why it's so life-changing? What about it really changed your perspective on, you know, things in America, things about life?
That racism and discrimination was a really, really difficult and really challenging thing for people to overcome. It took a lot out of them. And also just being African American, being a Muslim, just not being the ideal in America at that time was already, like, set him back, and how he overcame his obstacles. And just being an incredible man is really what, like, I would suggest reading the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and last year in eighth grade, my last year in middle school, I read a book called The Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama. That was also for a book report. It was really inspiring to me because, like, one of former President Obama's, like, main topic of that book was, like, you know, racism still exists, like, in the world we live in today. And, like, there's really no way to avoid it. Sadly, there are still a lot of racist people in the world. And he just said, like, an advice that, like, his mom told him, and, like, which is really strong advice, is that you really just have to focus on the bigger picture in life. Like, the point of life is not to, like, fight or, like, defend who you are and tell people it is okay who you are. You can't change who you are, and you're just perfect the way you are. So he just said the point of life is to focus on the bigger picture of what you want to do in life and not trying to, like, tell people your life and, like, fight with them, have conflicts with them, explaining, like, why you believe what you do and, like, who you are. So I think that was just a really strong message that, like, relates to what we're talking about today that came out of that book.
Yeah. And I think personally what I've experienced, at least in this school year, is most of the books I'm reading are, you know, classics. They're great. I'm reading Lord of the Flies and, you know, All's Quiet on the Western Front and all of those books. And they're very fascinating, and they give a really good perspective on, you know, World War One and how humans interact with each other. But I've noticed when I check my syllabus, there's no books written by women, and there's no books written by anybody that's not white. So I think what really happens sometimes in education is that we get these certain perspectives that don't always give like the full view of what things were like back in that period. So I think it's really great that you guys were able to read those books, you know, because not everyone gets to have that.
Yeah, and I totally agree. I mean, we are very fortunate that South Fayette does amazingly with making us read, like the ninth graders, for example, are reading I Am Malala by Malala Yousafzai, which is about a woman. And they do a great job of carrying the diversity. For example, in 10th grade, you take a world cultures class and you learn about all different cultures around the world. And you learn about people's differences because when you learn about others, then that makes you less likely to judge and more likely to accept. So I think South Fayette does a good job, but there are certain instances where it can be difficult for schools to incorporate.
Yeah. And I think it's a really big issue. And I think it's something that it comes to a point where us students have to kind of take it upon ourselves to ensure that we get that full point of view, you know, from those time periods, because what we're seeing right now is simply a lack of understanding and a lack of education in current events with, you know, everything that's going on. And it's just a lack of empathy. And by not being able to see that full perspective, people don't understand where everyone's coming from. And I think that really starts when you're a kid and when you're learning in school. So I think it's really important.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything anyone else wants to add?
Yeah, I agree with everything that's being said. I just wanted to bring this up. One of Winston Churchill's most famous quotes, and this is just, I think this is just one of the most famous quotes of all time, is those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And I think this is really important, especially in school, that, you know, you get a broad view of everything that happens in the world from a bunch of different perspectives so that you have a better understanding of how everything works and why it is that it is. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's really important. And with that, I'm going to pose this question to everyone. I feel like we've all had different experiences where, you know, within the social spaces of our schools, not just the academic spaces. So if anybody wants to touch on that right now, where socially, it's often perspectives can get, you know, diluted and not everyone understands where everyone's coming from. So,
yeah, I mean, I think sometimes misunderstandings come from not being able to understand each other. And there's obviously school can be a rough place, especially as teenagers. But I do believe to look for the people that are hopeful and look for the people that help and look for the people that have empathy. And I feel like that is what really makes me have hope for us as like a nation and a country and people, just teens together. And we will be right back. We're going to take a quick short break and we will be right back on the future.
The song you just heard was Plastic by Moses Sumney. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Streaming Justice, music and conversation about civil rights, past, present, and future, in honor of Martin Luther King Jr. Day, with Cronus,
DJ Stairs,
Safina Kilji,
Jossam Kilji,
and Lily. So as coming off of that education point in our last segment, which if you didn't tune in until just now, we were talking about education, the ways that we learn about it, and about civil rights in schools. And pretty much, I think there's a lot of things that students are doing recently to bring, you know, unity and inclusion in diversity. And if anybody wants to talk about the things that they're doing at their schools, that'll be great.
Yeah, so we have a club at South Fayette High School. It is called SHOUT, which stands for Social Handprints Overcoming Unjust Treatment. It's a diversity, equity, and inclusion club. And in November, we held, it was called the Uncommon Conference. I think your school might have came.
Yes, we attended, yeah.
Yes. So it basically like covered all different types of stereotypes. Like the exhibit or the play type thing was called In Stereo. So it covered different stereotypes and why we should all include everyone else and why the world's a better place when we include everyone else. And then we had different panels talking about different like religion types and everything like that. So it was really, a bunch of schools came and it was really a nice thing to see a bunch of schools and everyone being happy and dancing on stage. Yes. It was so fun. Yes.
It was so beautiful. I mean, I had the best time. I'm so glad. So much fun. And I'm from Baldwin, and we have a light club, which is Leadership Innovation Through Genocide Teachings. And basically there, we hold a vigil every year, which it's a kind of recognition event for where we read the names of people who were killed due to, you know, because of their race or their gender or, you know, just their identity-based violence pretty much. And it's a really beautiful event, and we really try to recognize people who, you know, were hurt because they were just being who they were. And I think I learned so much at the Uncommon Conference at South Fayette, and I thought it was really beautiful and really fun. So I think it's great that, you know, students are taking control of their futures and what they want to see happen in this country and in their communities. And I think that's really great. So I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, the future and what we really want our country to look like, what we're kind of scared of. Is there anybody that wants to comment on that?
Well, you know, I didn't grow up here. I just moved here like in 2022. Before this, well, like my parents move around a lot around the world for like their line of work. So before this, I lived in Russia. And like before that, I lived like all around like Europe and like Asia. So, you know, I'm not white. My parents are Indian. So when I was living in like Europe and all of that, like it was very rare for me to like experience racism and all of that. I would barely ever encounter it. And, you know, like when we moved over here, I had heard so many things. It's like, oh, you know, there's like all of these civil rights activists, MLK, Malcolm X. They were like famous internationally and like, oh yeah, this should be like a super, you know, inclusive place. But like, you know, I come over here and then I see people of all races like fighting and like just being terrible towards each other. And like, you know, it was kind of a shock for me.
Mm. Yeah. That is such a fascinating perspective. So I think that's really cool how, you know, just in a couple of years of living here, you've seen all of that really horrible violence. So I apologize. On behalf of all Americans, I'm sorry that you had to see that, because I think there is such a promise for this country. There was such a good, like, you know, fascinating ideals, like the democracy that this country has been built off of. But, you know, the actions that have been taken by the leaders and the people in power, I feel like have very much strayed from what the goals were. So I really hope that in the future we can see more of that democracy and representation for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have, like, zero guess of how the future is going to look like in our country, like, at all right now. There's so many things that could happen. There's so many things that could go right, go wrong. And I just think, like, looking at each other, I mean, we talk about this every year. I've been on this show the past, like, 2 years. And, like, you know, we talk about, like, we need to, like, come together as, like, one whole country. And just, you know, be more kind to each other, be more accepting of each other. But not a lot seems to change. So, you know, different ways we can do this is by, you know, just starting with, like, a spark at our school. Like, we talked about, like, what our school does to, like, kind of, like, overcome these, you know, bad, disgraceful things. So to anyone listening, too, like, if there's something you want to do or, like, you want to change and you have an idea, just put it out there, because, like, there's no harm, no foul. So, you know, where we are as a country right now, it can be so, like, you know,
discouraging.
Yeah, exactly. To like look at like what we're going through, and like if you have an idea, especially to the younger generation, of what you want to do, how you want to change it, just put your voice out, because what's the worst that can happen? And maybe like you could start like a club like at your school, like Shout, that can, you know, impact so many like young hearts and like young people to like make a change before, you know, it's too late.
Yeah, I 100% agree with what Jossam just said. I mean, we talk about hope and everything, and I know a lot of people have lost some hope, but I mean, for me, I always have hope. I feel like even if I don't say sometimes I have hope, it's always in the back of my mind. It's always there that I hope for a better future and a better tomorrow, because that's what a lot of people want. And I think that it would be beneficial, and just loving and accepting everyone else, because you never know what someone's going through, and you never will know until you ask or you understand or you reach out your hand and say, let me learn more mm-hmm. about you, and have empathy. So, I mean, I'm very hopeful.
I think it's so easy, especially with what we see every day on social media, and we see it over and over and over again, to get into that ideology of just negativity. And, you know, it's radicalized joy. If you have joy through all of this negativity, that is one of the most, you know, radical things you can do, you know, finding that understanding, finding that kindness, finding that love where you can is one of the best things that you can do right now. So I really hope anyone listening knows to just, you know, spread that hope, try to be kinder, and try to understand where everyone's coming from. You know, you might not know why that person cuts you off in traffic or, you know, did that rude thing, but they probably have a reason to. You know, and that was exactly MLK's message, like coming back to the reason why we're all able to be here today, you know, why we are here today is because this man, he fought for peace and love and for acceptance and inclusivity. And so many people behind him fought for the same things for so long. So I really hope we can all listen to that message and remember it today.
Yeah. And like people nowadays are so quick to judge people. But, you know, like, some people could just be, like, waiting for you. Like, and the way I say that is, like, someone could just, like, be waiting for you that's, like, unconfident about themselves. Just talk to them or give them, like, some hope, or just, you know, talk to them during lunch at school or anything, because even though someone isn't your friend, doesn't look like you, maybe doesn't even speak like you, like, you know, we're all stronger when we're together. I know, like, sometimes that sounds, like, you know, a little, like, weird or
cliche.
Like that, but it's honestly the truth, and it's honestly all we can do now. Don't judge people and just get to know them before you judge them based off of what you think.
Yeah, so overall, I hope there's will be a better tomorrow, but I know I don't want to be like in this fantasy land that I but there's a lot of work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad we got to look at MLK and his life and the civil rights movement and everything like that today. I'm so happy to be here with you guys.
Yep, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for now. Thank you for listening to our segment of Streaming Justice. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.